So in this session, we'll actually hear the talk that has been printed in the program for the 425 slot, The Ducks in a Row, Aligning Open Linguistic Data Through Crowdsourcing to Build a Broad Multilingual Lexicon. The Mohawk talk was moved away, and I think it was already
on Friday.
It was already on Friday, so just that you know that this is not the moment. But another very interesting talk.
So
okay, then we'll start.
Great,
thank
thanks. Just give a few seconds for the people to shuffle around to the right place. So thank you, all of you who are here today. I'm giving this talk in association with Sina Mansour, who's in Iran, and Carl Arbour, who's in Lausanne also, and talking about Kamusi. Here's a map of what I'll talk about today. First, I'll talk about the problems that we're addressing in multilingual lexicography. It's a different set of problems, or a related set of problems, but an overlaying level of problems over monolingual lexicography or bilingual lexicography. And then I'll talk about this idea of DUCS, the data unified concept knowledge sets, which is trying to solve the problem, some of the problems of multilingual lexicography. I'll talk about the tool, I'll talk about the data, and then I'll talk about asking all of you to give me data from your languages. So a very little bit about Kamusi. Kamusi is the Swahili word for dictionary. And what we're trying to do is create a complete matrix of human expression across time and space. So it's a modest goal that we want to have, produce for using as a knowledge resource for people to look up their own terms in their own languages, and then also for languages they want to learn, and also to use as a data resource for natural language processing applications like machine translation and all sorts of other things. We're an independent NGO, but we're also based at EPFL in Switzerland. And you're welcome to donate money. It's on 501c3. And the boat here is indicating that it's all about communication. The boat is, you know, people communicating across vast waters. So, and just one other thing, we're recognized by the White House as a partner in their big data initiative. It is a lot of big data, and this and $4 will get you a cup of coffee at Starbucks. Okay, so where are we? Multilingual lexicography and problems and principles. The reason that there aren't any good multilingual resources is you start with a concept like light. Some of you might have seen this before, I don't know. And you start, you know, in English, something like light has multiple senses. There's light, brightness, there's not serious, there's not full of calories, there's not heavy. Another 40-odd senses that you can get. You put it into another language. Here I use French. You've got different terms for many of them. Some actually see that léger and léger match. You try to do it computationally, go to existing data sets, and you end up getting all sorts of things that don't work at all, even when you're just trying to infer computationally. So you've got in the WordNet to French, you end up having lumière being told 44 times out of the 47 senses that light can be lumière, and 37 times that it can be léger, and you know that's absolutely impossible. 36 times they overlap. So the computational approach doesn't really work to begin with. And then you get to these older to data sets where all you have, this is an old Tagalog dictionary. You've got light, we know it's a noun, but we have no idea which of these go to lightness or funniness or heaviness. Even if we had this in a digitized format, this is a similar brick of text from Swahili, the University of Dar es Salaam dictionary, Gujarati. Even something that's nice and clear and well documented like Italian online, and which of these Italian words goes to which of these lights, who knows? But you map it all through English, and you know they all just map to this L-I-G-H-T thing. Really what you want is this sort of clustering, but you can't get that. You end up with this. Okay? which I call linguistic linguini. So, we said, okay, we have to start again. Let's see how you could do this on a multilingual basis so all those links actually do work. So, we take our idea of light, and we separate it out into concepts. Not dark, not heavy, not serious, not fattening. And then we can add the French. We can add, for not dark, you know, we can add other languages for each of those. So here's the Swahili, here's the Finnish, here's the Thai, for that idea. And now we're not getting confused by the spelling that happens, you know, the spelling correspondence of coincidence in English. And the French we could treat separately. Different ideas you can see in French, and those are not going to get confused with the English, just because we happen to begin with an English bias. If we get a French data set, we can deal with all the things that are the issues in French. So then we can add on more languages, and instead of thinking of them as dots, let's think of them as ducks, and the idea is that we want to put our ducks in a row. And just, you can see what it looks like in the definition here. You have a dictionary where you end up with the word in its own language. Here's an Urdu definition of, and then you get the, and see the translations. Here's the one that it's linked to, and then we want to tell you that it's, we're not 100% confident that the relationships carry on to the next language. We're going to give you why we think it is, and it's a second generation in that case, so we want to indicate our level of doubt. So this is how it looks when, this is our mobile app. We've got this running for 11 languages, very soon to go to 60 languages. Hopefully I can make this play. So this is Google Translate. Google Translate gives you one choice. This is one of the Romanian terms that translates to light, translates to Spanish, lumina goes to luz, luz. Here it is in Camusi, all the different senses. So a little bit richer than what you're going to get from Google Translate or any other online source. And as we add languages, we can, you know, each one of those gets tied in to through the ducts alignment to all the others that are already in the system. Now, I just want to take a little bit of a step aside, because I know people are going to say, but there's not exact equivalence between one language and another, and I agree with you entirely, and we have, in the data structure, I don't have time to talk about it today, we try to accommodate it. There are actually three ways that languages can match up, right? There's things that are directly equivalent, like this hand and mano in Spanish, mac in French. There are things that are not directly equivalent, but you have the best, you know, they're similar. So this is hand in English, but this is mkono in Swahili. So this is arm in English, but it's, you know, it's mkono, and this is hand in English, this is mkono. So you have to make some allowances for that, as it turns out. Swahili and Hawaiian match, have the same concept, so they are exact matches. And then there are things where there are lexical gaps, where there are things that exist in one language but don't exist in another language, and then you have to come up with little pithy ways of dealing with that. And that's actually something where ducks is useful in finding out the terms in another language. So, a little look at the tool. What we've done is we have taken the Princeton WordNet as our starting point, because they have 100,000 defined, 100,000 definitions that match to English terms, and those can be, so those can be going to multiple terms. So, you know, the term vehicle, a four-wheel motor vehicle for passengers, goes to car, motor car, automobile, auto, a couple of others. So there's 200,000 words and 100,000 definitions, and they match up one way or another. But it's a it's a good starting point because it's free and open and it's linked to 60 other languages. It's a bad starting point because some of the definitions are truly horrible and a lot of them are culturally biased. You can, and they also have some weird things, like they have certain names in the data set, like James Cook, and a lot of other names that are not in the data set. So we are in the process of bringing in now 800,000 terms from Wiktionary, thanks. From Wiktionary, we've matched them up so we know which ones are exactly the same in between WordNet and Wiktionary, and those are done, and then there are 100,000 some odd that are questionable, and we have to put those through ducks, and then there are 800,000 that are not, clearly not in WordNet, so we can take those and bring those in directly into our set of concepts, and some of those have proposed translations into other languages, which are problematic, but give us a base for starting with, there are some thousand odd languages that we can use for seed without even having to go through ducks. Another thing about the duck system, it doesn't have to be English. So for example, through the WordNet Spanish has a lot of definitions already in their WordNet. And so we have a Quechua data set, for example, that we can bring in through reference to the Spanish. And then we don't have to deal with English at all. I'll show you the game in a second. Just so you'll see that players match the term on the left with the concept on the right. You can make multiple matches. There can be, if you see a bad definition, you can flag it. And then, as I said, the null matches are the really interesting things from a kind of a digital humanities perspective. Oops. Here, this thing that this woman has on top of her head to cushion her head from the weight of the basket is a term in dozens of African languages and not a term in English. So that gets revealed by the fact that we don't have it in our set word set to begin with. So let's look at ducks, if my computer will. There we go. Okay, so this is one of the interfaces. This is the interface for the comparative African word list, which I'm mostly done aligning with WordNet, but I stopped because I need something to demonstrate. So there are still a few words left, about 100 words left to line up. And let's look at here, and there's a lot of stylistic issues that we have to deal with that are not looking particularly beautiful at the moment, but the functionality is there, and the screen size has changed this. So here's a word like straight, and straight can mean a lot of different things, right? So somebody who's straight, rigidly conventional and old-fashioned, following a correct or logical method, all sorts of different things. And I'm actually just going to X out some of the ones that don't apply. Or I can scroll through, and I know because of the way that the data is over on this side that it's dealing with, that this version of straight is dealing with dimensions, straightness, not crookedness. So I know it's free from curves or angle, right? Oof. But I also know there might, I deselected this, so here, that having that's a different one. Having no deviations, straight teeth, straight lines, also seems to be matching to shapes. So I'm going to take a second brick from this side and drop it over there, just so that I can make sure that I'm not missing any of the another correct English sentence. And that should show you that there's also the option here. If no definition applies, I could have dragged something over and dropped it on no definition applies. So, oof, and done. Similarly, here is the term smell bad. Smell is the search term. And the WordNet definition is, there's a WordNet sense smell bad, which is just a horrible definition for smell. Something's, you know, having an unpleasant odor would be a good definition. Smell bad is not a good definition of that sense of smell. So I'm going to flag it as a bad definition so that later we can pick it up and figure out what to do with it. Okay. And then you can also see how these things, there have been things that just don't have any matches when we do our searching through the WordNet to prepare the prepare ducks. And a lot of these are things that are going to be interesting, culturally interesting from the data set if it's coming from an indigenous language. Like, just cut open a papaya. Is that on the screen somewhere? Right, palm wine. These are things that we want to find, that we want to add to the global to the global knowledge set. So from current slide. So I have just a few minutes left, so so there are a few things we need to, still some things we need to program. We are working on an authentication system so that we can have many people playing. Because really what you want is not one person doing it. You might want one person doing it for a language if they're an authority. But you also, if you're opening it up to the crowd, people need to be able to log in, and you don't want to just trust the first person who comes along. You want to see a few people agree that this is the same sense. Also, if we have maybe a monolingual dictionary in a language that isn't matched to English or isn't matched to something else, we still want to be able to duckify it. We have a lot of data sets like that. And so then we have to have manual term searching so you can say this is, you know, look up this whatever this term is, and we'll give you the list of options from our concepts. We'd also like to push it the other way so that all these concepts, if you're working in something like Flex, you can get the English set of concepts for light and say, okay, this light that I'm dealing with is light, not heavy, and put that definition in on your your field research side, and then there's no longer any, there's not any confusion. You know what you're talking about from the outset. So just a little look at the data. You don't need to know what data looks like very much. We have got about 60 good word lists for a bunch of different languages that we've already prepared, and they're all set and ready to go into Ducks. And also about 20 sign languages, all lined up through one set. We've mostly done the comparative African word list, so that's 1,700 terms that we don't even have to duckify. If somebody has the CAWL list, we can bring it right in into that system that you saw earlier. Basically, anything that's in a digital format that's copyright available, word lists, electronic dictionaries, that sort of thing. Here's something that we started with that we've gotten ready for duckifying. This is something coming from Flex. It's starts out complicated and you trim away, you do a lot of parsing. Here's a Fula dictionary this is a print dictionary that was in Word format, and we spent a lot of time figuring out what all of these. This is one entry, here's the English side, here's the French side, here are examples, what all the different abbreviations were, what we needed to keep, what we could throw away, and then we ended up with 332 things that clearly aligned, and so we don't have to put them through ducks, 3,000 things that clearly don't align, so we can't put them through ducks, and then 7,500 things that we have to find a Fula, go to the Fula community to work with on ducks. So here is a Russian data set, 70,000 Russian terms. We figured out how to parse. Now the next thing is to do the parsing file. Russian is extremely important because then there are all sorts of Russian is an important pivot language. And then there's the question of your languages. So, this conference is fantastic because there are people from all over the Americas, the Pacific Rim. And I would like to invite any of you who are intrigued by this idea to please talk to me and get you going in Ducks as well. So, thanks.
Thank you. Time for questions, yes.
How do you handle non-Latin orthographies?
Well, you saw with the Russian. I can't read that. So we need somebody, you know, to parse something like this, we need somebody who speaks the language to help us get it sorted out. So fortunately, in my lab, we have a Russian speaker who came over and helped me figure out what each and every part, I think we've figured out every part of this structure, and we'll be able to get it to work. But yeah, we can't do it without the help of somebody who knows what they're talking about. But if it's in Unicode, you know, presumably once we've got this set in ducks, the Russian community can go and do the ducking, do the aligning, and they can read it. If they can't read it, then they shouldn't be doing it.
So you have like an app. What about non-official apps? Like, do you have like a development process, or what does that look like? Is there an outside developer coming in, looking at your stuff? I wanted to either add words and maybe integrate, use some of the translation capabilities.
Okay, so the app that you saw with the scrolling thing, that was a pretty dumb app. That's only for looking up things. We have another app that we haven't launched because it's too expensive for us to launch. We have, you know, dealing with the management on taking in data.
Yeah.
But that is for taking in data, and that is when we have a term that's missing now. But it's actually kind of a next step. Once we know that we don't have a term in a data set, then we can start asking for it. And so this is, and it's a fairly complex data model. But it's the idea is that people can play on their phones or on Facebook. Also, it's not just as an app to provide terms, the term in their language for a concept that's in our data set. Now, of course, this is biased as well.
Yeah.
Right? We can't say, okay, what is the term for this thing that you wear on the top of your head? Because there's no system for having, you know, having that. There are other ways of adding new terms to a language, but you know, through the app, we haven't worked on that. But ducks is not the answer for every part of lexicography. It's the answer for how to deal with existing data and get all that existing data set up. And for then having an elicitation set or a variety of elicitation sets to go out and say, okay, let's get these terms that we already have a defined meaning for. Let's take those terms and build a lexicon in language X. We'll miss some things, but we'll get a lot of things, and we can, we have a priority list of about 20,000 terms that seem to be fairly common across languages, and we can work on those terms or smaller subsets thereof, and then deal with the other problems of getting the indigenous terms later on. So this is only part of the puzzle.
Does it take special permission to contribute?
No. to contribute?
That is to play the ducks game and try to line things up. To claim that I'm an expert at fooling, which I've never learned at all.
Right, this is why we have the validation procedure, and why I say at the moment it's too expensive for us to run it. I have to, you know, if I have to vet everybody, everybody who wants to come along for 7,000 languages, that's just not going to work. So part of the idea is, yes, to have a system where you can register, you can just go by yourself, but we have to see that we're getting the same thing from multiple sources before we accept it. If it's you and the data set is Yiddish, I'm perfectly happy to give you godlike power over Yiddish. But if you sign up and say you want to deal with Yiddish and then you start futzing around... that's more of a challenge, so we couldn't do that.
And do you set up other, I guess, organizational ties with universities and things like that, or NPOs, or?
Yes. I am trying to organize something called the Human Languages Project to put together a consortium to do all of these all sorts of different things, and you know, to actually make use of the data. in interesting ways for NLP, but we have about 60 organizations or groups that have signed on to the project with actual letters, but I stopped taking on new ones because it just became, I have to find funding, and until we can find somebody who's interested in funding a project like this, so here's kind of a list of interested organizations. For example, Emmanuel, who's not in the room right now, has brought in his organization in Cameroon. There are a lot of different organizations that we'd like to work with, but we're right now in the funding search to actually be able to implement before we can go farther with that. Yes.
So another approach that's sometimes used for finding word senses across languages is word embeddings. If you've got multilingual parallel data,
mm-hmm.
doing neural network approaches and then using the word embeddings, have you compared that sort of quasi-automated geometric approach to see how it lines up with the senses that you have here?
No. In principle, we would, that's the sort of thing I'd love to farm out to graduate student projects, but I haven't had the opportunity. And, corpora only work when there's a corpus available, so it only works for the big languages that already have a lot of resources. And when I go to conferences in Europe and people are talking about what they're doing with their corpus, I just, but then all the languages that so many people here are talking about, that's not an option. So we have to do it in a different way.
So just to play the devil's advocate a little bit, where would the funding go? Because a lot of organizations on that list, I imagine they have volunteers that could
mm-hmm.
enter in and start matching things up for you. Do you need funding to proceed? Or?
Yes.
Okay.
We can't do it without some funding, but we need, there's programmers, there's management. If there are going to be experts involved, we have to pay the experts because people have to, pay their rent. So some of the things are things that can be turned on and, let the community work. But even just letting the community work involves a lot of management time, recruiting people, training people, keeping them motivated, giving feedback, checking to see whether you're getting good results from somebody or, if there's somebody who's consistently bad, trying to figure out what to do about them. So there are a lot of uses for money.
there always are. So would you, I guess, I don't know if that would work for your project, but supposing you had, Simon Fraser University get on board because they have a big data initiative too,
mm-hmm.
and they paid to send in an expert to work on this, would that be something, or would you be looking at more funding for that project in particular?
We'd have to see what you're talking about, but yeah, in principle,
that would be helpful.
It would be helpful, yes.
Okay. Maybe it's a lengthy discussion. I don't know. I noticed there are different colored dots for the different languages. Is that maintained consistently throughout the system?
Oh, on my, that was just for artistic purposes.
Okay. There's no system there.
His dog chose them.
Yeah.
Okay, then let's thank the speaker again.